And yes, we are live. So again, I thank you again for another message that was kind of laid on my heart. I hope that you do get something out of it, because our scripture reading for this morning will be in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 4. That's going to be our reading. So while I was sitting here at my desk drinking my coffee, and yes, I do have my coffee here, which is sitting right here. So when I was drinking my coffee, I think it was last Saturday morning, doing, you know, after the coffee and scriptures, I started thinking about, you know, a message. And usually I just do that all the time when I'm drinking coffee or I'm drinking water or something like that. I love to start drinking some soda again, but I stay away from that. But again, like I always do, I start thinking about a message ahead of time. You know, that's just usually how I do things. And my mind was thinking about, okay, well, what the next message is going to be about for Friday. You know, I don't know how many of you are real close friends. I know Sarah is, but some of us here in the room, we're probably friends with pastors, and they can tell you a lot of times they're already thinking about two or three or four messages down the road. Sometimes do they come through, you know, do they get completed? You know, it's not me. I got notebooks all over the place. You know, I got little electronic notebooks. You know, I usually jot things down and I start thinking about it. But you know, when I did last Friday's message, I started thinking about what the world is like today. And I think many of you can kind of agree with me, because you ain't got to go very far to turn on the radio or look at the internet or turn on your television, or if some still read newspapers, which I still do, you know, you can't help but see the things happening in this world today. I mean, it's just, it's unavoidable. You can't escape it. I mean, it's there. It's happening. It's going on. And I don't know about you, but, you know, how many times that, you know, when we see these things in the world, we kind of look at it like, you know, things seems to be getting worse. You know, if you can go back and do history, you know, I mean, we can go all the way back to the late 1940s. I mean, but, you know, from now to today, things has gotten worse, folks. It really has. And be honest with you again, like I said, you don't have to look very far to find out something worse. You can just look beyond your own neighborhood. You know, I mean, it used to be unheard of in this little small city to see shootings and murders right down on the street and done in broad daylight. But now, in this little small city, we're seeing big city crimes. And you know, that's why I'm going in this direction today, because I think you can understand we don't have to look very far to see things as bad as everywhere. And most of all, I can tell you right now, you know, you can look at all the shootings almost every day. All the hate. I mean, I just drive to Walmart and just people are just angry and hateful, even in their cars. You get in Walmart, they're angry and hateful, even cutting you off in lines. You know, it's like, you know, they'll do something. You look at all the rage that's gone on all throughout the countries, the sufferings, the disasters. What's even worse, which I've been noticing, the very core of our Christianity are now being attacked. It's being attacked relentlessly, daily. Now, most of that I contribute to the fault of man, wickedness of man, evilness. Because again, you know, folks, the reason why we're seeing such calamities and all these other things that's happening, people have decided, God, we don't want you. Get out of my life. Get out of my beliefs. Get out of my school. Get out of my public gatherings. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So see, that's what man is doing. Man is just basically saying, God, I don't want you. But you know, when you look at us and you look at everything that's going on, you know, there's not a single structure, a contemporary civilization, that has escaped the crucial test of today's changing world. And that world looks like a bad future. So if you got your Bible with you, I don't know if Lisa's able to post. She might be having some problems or something. We are in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verses 1 through 4. Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 4. And look what it says, folks. God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even through the earth be removed, and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, through its waters roar and trouble, though the mountains shake with swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. I was led to this particular passage because, again, you know, as I just said, everything that we've been seeing has been going on. I call this message, the title of this message, A Good God for Bad Times. Now, you know, a lot of people were thinking, well, okay, you know, everything is going on bad in this world, everything that's happening. Everybody's probably wondering, okay, God, where are you in the midst of all this? Why are all these things happening? Why is all this going on? And you're wondering, where are you? But the good news here, my friends, when you look at the whole central theme of the whole chapter chapter 46, I think say verse, look at the central theme of the whole chapter of Psalms 46. Read the whole thing through when you get a chance. But we see throughout this whole chapter, which caught my eye, we see that God himself remains as a source of our strength, even in bad times. Read that whole chapter. God is the source of our strength, even in bad times. And in this chapter, which I picked up four things we're going to learn, this is what I picked up. Probably going to learn a lot more, but this is what caught my eye and brought my attention to this. And here's what we're going to talk about. The first thing that we learn from our reading scriptures, but actually this whole chapter, the first thing that we learn, God is. The first thing we learn from Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 4, God is. Verse 1, which says, God is our refuge and strength and very help in trouble. And what we see in this verse, in verse 1, as we go through our daily lives, each one of us, folks, same to me, I'm speaking for myself, each one of us will experience difficult situations. No one's exempt. I wish we were, but we're not. You see, a lot of times, my friends, when we go through pain and suffering, a lot of times, you know, and I see this a lot with people in church, I see they're surprised to see that these situations has found their way into their lives. And many Christians I talk to, they seem the same thing. They seem surprised when they find these types of situations in their lives creeps into their lives. And they seem surprised about it. Yes, a few times it seemed like it surprised me, you know, that it would happen. You would think it would not happen, but you know it does. But I'm starting to grow and learn and understand, you know what? God's word says these things will happen. See, we keep forgetting when things happen in our lives. We keep forgetting whenever we experience some kind of hardships or pain or difficulties or whatever it may be, bad times. We forget the word of God tells us we will experience these hardships. How many of us forgets when something happens? when we go through such calamities or pains or difficulties or whatever. How many times did we forget? I do. I think it's only natural that we do that, but you know what? I think if we start to understand the will of God as we've been covering in the Lord's Prayer, you know, this is why, again, these two seem like they're flowing in together. When I said last night in our Bible lesson, let God's will be done, not ours. If it be my will be done, nothing would happen. Nothing. But we ought to pray, let God's will be done. And we have these moments where the world seems so chaotic that we just want to run and hide from it all. I do. Sometimes I feel like I want to go run and hide under a rock. You see, folks, in these moments when we need God the most, whenever we are facing something difficult in our lives, whenever we are facing a hurt, whenever we are going through something, a trial, a tribulation, or whatever you want to call it, that's when we need God the most. He is our fortress, ever-present help in trouble. You see, friends, everybody may desert you. They may turn their backs on you. May not want to have nothing to do with you, but He, our God, will always be at your side. Always. Whether you're passing through high waters or walking through fire, He will never leave you alone. He is the defense for the helpless and our forever stronghold. Remember how the Israelites, how they wandered for 40 years in the desert, despite the hardships and the conditions they faced, they were able to thrive. You seem to think it didn't, because you know, you see in the Bible, you know, they had to wander in that wilderness till that generation had to die off before the new generation can cross over into the promised land. But yet they still thrive going through that process. It was hard for them. It was difficult. I'm sure at first they were doing some many murmuring and complaining, which they did at first. But I think as time went on, they realized, you know what? We sinned. And now what we're paying for is God's will. But they were able to thrive. See, the Lord just did not give them food and water. He provided them with safe refuge from the enemies. They called on Him, and He answered, like He always does. Why? God is. The second point, the second thing we learn from this chapter. You ready for this, my friends? I love this one. The second thing that we learn, the Lord of hosts is with us. You get that? The Lord of hosts is with us. Because look what it says. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And friends, what I like from this particular passage in verse 7, as we go through hardships, whether they be financial troubles, painful relationships, damaged health, or questioning our self-worth, it is hard for us to realize that God is still always working in us. Why is this? Why is it hard to realize that God is working within us? Well, the answer to that question is this. Because as humans, we use our beliefs based on what we see and not by faith. Again, we as humans base our beliefs on what we see and not by faith. But folks, and faith is what God tells us to focus on, not by sight. We should focus on Him regardless of the hardships, but we got a bad tendency to focus on things we see. True faith, my friends, true faith is focusing on God regardless of what you're facing. And look, we're all not exempt from it. We have faced something in our lives, and it's been hard. We can all give testimony to that. But I want to add to this, look what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says. That's why, again, he's telling us to walk by faith. Very simple, straightforward, to the point. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, when you really focus in on this particular passage, this passage also tells us it can be difficult to trust God during uncertain times. But as believers, we know that His ways are not our ways. That is Isaiah 55:8-9. And also we know that He will ultimately work all things together for the good of those who love Him. That's Romans 8:28. See, a lot of His words are so comforting to us because, again, it tells us faith. Faith in Him. Trusting in Him. Not by sight. You see, having faith in difficult times can allow you to find peace in God's presence. When we have faith in Him, and look, I know it's hard. I deal with it a lot myself. Sometimes I come unglued like, you know what? I get like a little frayed, you know, cat or something or whatever. I wish things would be right. I wish things were good. Faith in difficult times does allow you to find peace in His presence. When you, and I hate to say it this way, but when you are unfaithful, it can harden your heart with pride. Yes, it will. Pride can get the best of all of us. Don't sit there and act like, you know, well, that's not me, Brother Jim. Hogwash, that's all of us. Pride gets in our way. We do get pride for a time. Sometimes when we got to be rebuked or corrected or whatever, pride will kick in. Sometimes when you're told you can't do this and do that or whatever, pride will kick in. Sometimes when someone disagrees with you, pride will kick in. So don't act like you ain't done it. We all do. But when you start becoming unfaithful because of your pride and you let that pride get in your way, it will, at certain times, in difficult situations, causes your heart to harden. And then you begin, and I see this a lot, grow distance in your relationship with Him. That's why we see so many people seem to drift away. They're allowing their hearts to harden. Because sometimes, even in difficult situations, and I've seen this a lot, they think God is doing something wrong to them by allowing this to happen. And they're saying, well, I'm supposed to trust you by faith, but yet these things still happen in my life. I don't get you. They will cause you to drift and pull apart. But folks, I'm telling you right now what I have learned in my life by learning to give up all your struggles and problems to God. Let me repeat this. Learning to give up all your struggles and your problems to God can lift a heavy burden off yourself. You get this? When you give all your problems and struggles to God, I mean, just I mean, I know it's hard. You can lift those burdens off yourself. And what we need to know, as the Word of God tells us, that God is with all believers today, and that His Holy Spirit indwells within us. God will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. While it may seem at times we are alone, we must remember the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us and will always be with us. And knowing this and trusting in Him will help us have peace in our lives, even when we may not understand His plans for us. We may not get it. We may not ever understand it. But you got to know that the Lord of hosts is with you. The third thing that we learn from this chapter, we learn, come, behold the works of the Lord. You understand that? That's the third thing we learn from this chapter. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Verse 8. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in earth. You see, some people in today's time feels that the Lord has abandoned us. And He's left us to our own demise. Many people feel that way, Christians in general. They feel like God has just, boom, left them out there, threw them under the bus, so to speak. And while at times this may look true in our lives, it may look that way. But you know what? I think this is more so due to the sins of man and how man has been removing God out the way. Now, that's just me, but you know, I've been telling many of my friends I've been talking to in my brotherhood, we call it the pastor brotherhood, and we all kind of been agreeing the same thing. We're starting to see the reason why God is leaving us, or it seems like He's kind of abandoned us, or He seems like He's not here with us. You know, He is in us, but we're seeing less and less of His workings being manifest. And I think God's getting to the point, you know what, well, man, y'all want to do what y'all want to do, fine. Have at it. I've been trying for a long time throughout history of the Bible. I'm starting to get to a point about had enough of it. I think God's about had enough of it. Because finally, we're getting to the point, man is so cocky. What God? That's what they say now. What God? There is no God. That's just fables, hearsay. Let's do what we want to do. Let's marry man on man and woman on woman. Let's do all these things. Let's do all this wicked stuff. Let's party hardy. Let's have fun. And once you're dead, you're dead. Who are you to try and impose those moral values on my life, my body, my thoughts, my ways? And we wonder why God seems like He's distant at times. And you know why that's happening? You want to know the real reason why it's happening? We know it's sin. Okay, you know, we can say sin. But here's the real reason that we need to understand why all this has happened. We need to understand that He allows free will to take place. That's right, free will. He allows it to take place. And because of that free will, He will allow destruction to unfold. Good answer, Judy, but that's not really it. Sin's been around since dawn of time. What's happening more and the reason why all this is happening to take place is because of man's free will. God could impose His law on us and we had to follow Him like mindless robots. But He's allowing us to make decisions. We make those decisions. We can choose to follow God if we want to, but we don't want to. Satan has blinded the eyes of many. And that's what's going on. So because of man's free will, okay, you know what? God's going to allow all this destruction to take place. Why? To me, it's very simple. Because again, I done said it several times so far in this message, man has turned its back on God. We don't need you. We don't need you. We made a choice. We don't want you. Get out of my life. Leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. But let me tell you something. You get this straight. And understand this. God never sits idly by in heaven as some mere persuasive or passive spectator of world events. He never sits by idly and watching just mere world events going on. No, my friends, he is not distantly removed. He's never off duty. He's always advocating his throne. Always. He does not abandon the world to run its own course. Instead, God remains on the throne, ever alert, ever active, continually intervening into human history. You understand that? God has allowed things to unfold in the past, and he's doing so today, and he will do so tomorrow. If tomorrow comes for some of us. And we can see this from world events, and sometimes we can see this in our lives. We've seen miracles. We do. They still exist. Not as much, but they still exist. And sometimes we may not ever see no way of escaping this bleak outcome. Because the outcome for man is destruction. So therefore, we must remember the God who can take away. You ready for this? We must remember that the God who can take away is also the God who can restore. Yes, folks, God can take away, but God can also restore. We must look back and behold the powerful works that God has performed on your behalf. Reflect on that. You see, a lot of times I told someone a couple of days ago, not here on chat, but some friends of mine, I said, you know, our main problem is we're looking for the bigger and better things. But we never step back to reflect on the things that God has done for us. Folks, prayers he has answered. His needs he has supplied. Situation that he has controlled. Doors that he has opened. Circumstances he has overruled. You see, we never think about that, but he's constantly in work. He's constantly doing those things in our lives. Even though there's chaos around us. So let's remember this. If you're a note taker, you know, hopefully you write this down, but let's remember what God has done for us in the past to bring us to the present. Look at the work that he has done. Look at the work that he has done. The fourth thing we learn from this chapter. The fourth thing. The exaltation of God. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Considering the first part of this passage, all of us can find peace even in the midst of chaos of life. Yes, that's my friends, you can find peace in the midst of chaos in your life. And when we do so, then we can take a moment to be thankful for what He has done and even remember all the trials we faced in life where and were all part of God's plan. We can be thankful for everything that happened to us in our life. And you might get a little bent. Like, you mean my sickness is all part of His plans? You mean me being in a wheelchair is part of His plans? You mean me being thrown out on the street is part of His plans? You mean my financial difficulty is part of His plans? How dare you, Brother Jim? You need to be thankful because you're alive complaining. You could be dead and not knowing Jesus, and that could be even worse. You need to take a moment to be thankful. Did y'all eat today? Did many of you have coffee, tea, or water today? Do y'all have internet today? You in your house today? For many of us sweating in this heat, do you got air conditioner? You got loved ones, family members? Take a moment to be thankful for what He has done for you. And then remember all the trials that you have faced in your life. They were all part of God's plan. All of them. See, as we are walking in our journey in life, we can also use this time to pray and ask God for guidance and strength. And I think all of us can say, being still isn't always easy. You know, a lot of times when there's difficulties facing me and my wife's life, you know, and I'm sitting here in my office, I'm like a cat with a long tail in a room full of rocking chairs. Man, and you got to sit there and be still and know that He is God. Whoo. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. But it can be enriching. We was talking this morning, me and Sarah, and I was posting a few little pictures. You know, some places I go at, it's called Maggie Valley, North Carolina. It's called the Great Smoky Mountains. And I go to those mountains a lot of times, me and my wife, or we do take some kind of retreat. We're going to take one week after next, you know, just to get away like Jesus did. And I use that to try to go somewhere in a very quiet place and sit still. And I tend to try to shut up. And I want to hear Him. But you know, even like when I was trying to pray this morning, when I was trying to pray, you know, like from the lesson last night, and these thoughts started just popping into the mind. I told the Lord, Lord, why is the mind like this? Why does the mind have all these thoughts that just start popping in there when I'm really trying to have a good conversation with You? And I'm trying to be still in my prayers. I'm trying to get the mind to be still and the heart to be still. And a lot of times it's not easy. But when you keep focusing on it, it is enriching because we can be thankful to remember that God is always with us. God is always with us in the midst of all this noise. All this noise is up here. God's with us. But you got to understand, when we neglect to be still, to take time for Him, listen to this carefully. When we neglect, as I said last night's lesson, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's where we got to it. And I remember what I told y'all in that lesson? It was three petitions, right off the bat, the first one and foremost was God has to be number one. Has to be number one, 100%. So don't try to sit there and pretend, well, God, I'm going to give you all these things. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to say all these things. But, no buts. See, the problem with us Christians today, we're not giving God 100%. We're not making him number one in our lives. We're so busy with the kids. We're so busy with the job. We're so busy in the world. We're so busy with all this texting and stuff that we got to do. We're so busy wanting to sit in these chat rooms and this and that and everything else. And we're not giving God his full 100% devotion that he is required. Now, I might be popping some bubbles here by saying that, but that's the fact. That belongs to everybody. I see people would think, you know, well, I read about 2-3 minutes of the Bible today, so I'm good. But they can sin or sit in front of a television for 3 or 4 hours. Or they can go jam out on some music for an hour. See, when we start doing those things, we're starting to neglect to be still. Because when we neglect being still, what happens? We start building our own kingdoms. Remember when I said, your kingdom come, your will be done? But whenever we start neglecting to be still, to give him number one, uno, uno, we start building our own kingdom. And we end up making everything about us. Me, 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 me. And that path, what it does, it leads to a faulty foundation that only exalts self and is not exalting God. But when we place God in his proper place and recognize it's his kingdom, when we recognize that it's God's kingdom, then, my friends, we will find peace. Even if this world is falling apart. You see, I got a lot of people telling me, man, Jim, did you read that article here? Jim, did you see that posting here? Jim, did you see that YouTube article about this and this, this drug or that vaccine or the government doing this or the government doing that or this or that or whatever? And I look at them, I shake my head, why are you telling me this? I don't care about that. Well, Jimbo, you need to be worried about that. You need to be concerned about the government and the Democrats or the Republicans or this or that or whatever. Why? 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 My concern is God's kingdom. He's allowing these things to happen. He has it under control. Now, I'm not sounding cold or careless or whatever. I'm concerned about these things that's happening, murdering the babies and everything else. I'm concerned about the sin. But I'm praying for salvation for the lost souls that is in that sin, and hopefully that they come to their senses and receive salvation. That's what I'm more concerned about. I'm more concerned in trying to preach Jesus than the stupid vaccines or this or that or whatever. But you know what? Whenever you put yourself in that position, you realize that God is the ultimate one in control. And when you realize that this is his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, we can have peace even when this world is falling apart. And when we see that he has done it all under his control, and that his kingdom, and acknowledge that he is in fact God, when we see this and when we acknowledge he is God in the midst of all this, then God can be exalted here on earth. Woo-hoo. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Sometimes we have struggles in our lives that just seems to last forever. It just seems that way sometimes. We just got struggles. As it seems to last forever. Me and my poor wife, we're facing some big ones right now. For 4 years straight. 4 years straight. We're facing these struggles and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And I'm sitting here in my room just like I was doing again this morning. God, why is this happening? You know I need help badly. You know I need deliverance. You know I need a miracle. Things are just coming apart for us. Why does this last thing seem like forever? But you know what? And I made an addition to this morning. When we see it like that, however, it's unrealistic for us to think that God is going to snap his fingers just like that and it all be over with just because we asked. I have seen some Christians get so upset and mad they walk away from it because, again, they're told, well, if you ask God, God will take care of it. Oh, really? You show me in the Bible where it says that. I challenge you. Show me in the Bible where everything's going to be hunky-dory. You ain't going to find it. Jesus, in fact, tells us we will have tribulation. Now, this might be an unpopular message for some church. Well, I want to hear something good, brother. Well, this is good. It helps you understand why we face these things. But don't think just because you are Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes or Mr. Goody Two-Shoes that you're going to pray a bodacious prayer, that you're going to pray a righteous prayer, and bam, he's going to snap his fingers and jump right in. Oh, yeah, Judy, I'm going to get right on it right now. Oh, Lisa, I'm going to take care of you right now. Sarah, I'm right on it. It don't work that way. Most of the time, God's timing does not match what we want for in our lives. His thoughts, his ways. And I think, you know, I think in the midst of our struggles, I think that many of us, in fact, can say that we grow the most spiritually during our struggles. Huh? Say that again, brother? I must have heard this wrong. You saying that we grow the most spiritually during the times of our struggles? Yes. Yes. We all should agree to that being yes. We all should agree that trusting God in difficult and bad terms and bad ways and bad circumstances has become a way of life for us. We can agree that trusting God in difficult and bad times has become a way of life. And yes, hard times may come and may go. They do. They come and they go. One thing is for sure, staying focused and keeping our faith in the Lord will result in a greater blessing and rewards in heaven. See, God never promised us that life would be easy. I wish it was, but he never promised that. But there is a point to our struggles. There is a point to your struggles. And the point is to grow spiritually into a more stronger and mature Christian. That's the point. To grow stronger in your faith in the Lord. So in knowing that we have a good God in bad times, and knowing that we have a good God in bad times, we become complete. We become complete in His Holy Trinity. And we have a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior. Because during your most difficult and bad times, that's when we come closer to Him. Because you think about it, when things are going right, we're not really that close. Our minds are focused on other things. But know this. We have a good God in bad times. And in knowing this, we know that God is good, regardless of what we think. And knowing that God is good in bad times, we know this regardless of what we think. Amen.